time for the True Sports Card Show, the only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world. Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palladi and Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Good morning, everyone. It's Imran along with Emil. We also have Big Shep in the studio, Nate behind the window. Good morning on this April 20th. Edition of the True Sports Card Show. Am I wrong, but did you change the music at the front?
You're welcome.
You're kidding me.
You're welcome.
I wasn't excited.
The flutes were gone. I was like, what the heck? So proud of our team here.
I tried.
Good for you, man.
Good morning, everybody. Even though today that's a goat scream, and that's what I was yelling about the third quarter of last night's game. It's been a tough 12 hours, 15 hours. Mm-hmm. The King season is officially over. It's been quite a ride this year, and injuries took its toll near the end of the year. As always, injuries. Was I on the radio just right now?
Yes, sir.
Shep's mic was off.
I'm a professional. Shep's mic was off.
I wasn't reaching all the way over there.
I would have got you.
Yeah.
I heard it, and I was like, that's right.
All right, we'll edit this out. Okay, everybody, the Kings were bounced last night by the New Orleans Pelicans. It was weird because I really kind of wanted to unplug the TV right around the mid of the third quarter. It was a rough go. We knew that there was going to be some struggles. I don't even know how to describe how I feel right now. Guys,
you know,
take over.
I was smart and just didn't turn it on until the fourth quarter. And
because
we all knew what was going to happen. Unfortunately, they just didn't play with energy until they looked up and saw there's 2 minutes left. We should maybe play basketball, and the season's over. But you know what the thing is I know in our little group chat, everybody was disappointed last night. I said, but we could be running out the lineup with John Solomons and Jason Thompson and
Francisco Garcia,
just a handful of guys that were just. Okay.
A little Omri Caspi love.
Yeah, we could win 24 games a year, or we could have a season where there's drama. We could get into the play-in, maybe make the playoffs, and have excitement where we're talking about that other than talking about, man, who's in the lottery and what are our chances, and then we ended up with the seventh pick or the eighth pick.
My Super Bowl every year as a Kings fan since I was a little boy has been the draft day.
Yep. Yes.
I'm not joking. It's always been like the day that I absolutely loved checking out because – we were going to have a top 10 pick every year, and knowing that we had a top 10 pick, I would start paying attention to some of the college players, and you know, the last few years we're in the late lottery, if not in the lottery at all. It's just been nice. It's been nice to actually focus on the playoffs. That's over, and I think what we're trying to figure out is where do we go from here, and how would that affect not only the Kings on the court, but our investments locally on cards. So, as an example, Pete from our store bought that De'Aaron Fox gold, and he sold it right away. And again, he's our guy here. He's our franchise guy. So, De'Aaron's value isn't going to dip that much. But I think that at some point, playoff failure is going to affect card values. And I think we've seen that in people like Dame Lillard. Dame flatlined before he went to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I think that it takes success in the playoffs to actually see some value increasing.
But how much success, though? Because obviously Tatum is another example. Got to the finals, wasn't able to get over the hump. His cards have kind of stagnated a little bit in some aspects. So where would be the hurdle is really the real question.
Strangely enough, in basketball, it sees an uptick. Football doesn't see that much. We've seen that in Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think when Mahomes went GOAT mode or a trajectory of GOAT mode, he didn't really see an uplift of the last Super Bowl. Travis Kelce did.
But it's hard to jump from where Mahomes was, and you add another Super Bowl to it, and it's like, okay. So, I mean, Brady didn't see, like, after his, fifth Super Bowl to the sixth, did it really make his value go up that much more? No. And not necessarily the more and more you win, at some point it's going to cap out because if not, like, it's going to steady at some point. It just can't forever go up.
So the question then becomes, what happens to the Kings' values going into the offseason. Yep. So I think Fox and Sabonis are as steady as it can be as far as – Sabonis isn't very expensive at all. But if you look at some of the players that have seen some upticks, two in particular, Keegan Murray.
Yes.
So Keegan, I think, had a – I mean, I don't think he had a bad game. He had a bad game. Yesterday was a bad game for him. Mm-hmm. 2 for 7 from three. Shot really timidly. We're the home of the Kings, but
– got a little banged up.
Yeah, he had a hip issue coming out of halftime, and it just – he was making threes when it didn't seem to matter. They were down by 13 or 15 at the time. So I don't know how I feel about Keegan Carts. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, I think we've seen the shop, too. Like, we had a second-year auto that was in the shop that sold for $100. The other day. Man, $100. Like, last year
– it was graded, though.
Yes.
I want to say that because we had a $30 Keegan auto second year. For sale, it might still be there now.
Yeah, it's inexpensive. Yeah. And last year, in his rookie stuff, I mean, was $300-$400 at a time for a graded autograph, and now we see it come down. And I think it's just people disappointed that he didn't take another bigger step this year. I think we saw him with that 47-point game, and everybody got really excited. Okay, he is going to take that big leap because that was early in the season, and he just never.
But we got recency bias, truly.
True.
He scored 30-something points the night before, the game before.
And you saw in the card, I mean, I was looking at it right now, one of my ended watch lists, I was watching his Black Gold Prism rookie, which is out of 5, and it sold for $2.2K. That was just 3 days ago. So it fluctuates game to game, it feels like.
I just feel like if you're ever on a bandwagon for like a Keegan, today, tomorrow, the next day is a good day to buy. Well, investment-wise.
This whole next month is going to be awesome to buy the Kings because they're out of the playoffs. People are upset with them. People are going to be like, oh, I'm down on the Kings. They're terrible. Now is the time to strike and buy. Yeah. Once Sabonis' prices aren't super high, and the reason being is he's a star with the Sacramento Kings, but he's a rookie with the Thunder. So he has cards with the Thunder. He has really nice cards with the Pacers. He has a handful of cards with the Kings. They're nice, but it's, you know, as a veteran, you want that rookie stuff, and so his value, because his stardom really right now is with the Kings. It's not with the Thunder. His price is available. You see, Fox, he is the franchise, like you said. His prices are going to have a little dip here, and if you think that he's going and the Kings are going to have a better season next year, or you're just a fan of the Kings or Fox, this is the time to strike and go buy those bigger cards because that it's going to come down. The market's going to get soft. It's going to come down somewhat. But this is the time for you to make a play and get in and get those cards and add them to your collection. So when everybody's hyped for the season that's upcoming, when we get to bring back guys and we add, there's more play, we get new additions and people are hyped about that the season in September and October, that's then the time to, hey, I got a couple extra Fox autos, put them on the market, make a few extra bucks, and then you're able to grow your collection and make a few bucks on stuff that you bought for cheap.
The alternative of somebody that's super high risk, and I don't know about the reward, is Keon Ellis.
Yep.
He came up on a two-way contract. Yeah. I know that you personally, Emil, were trying to invest in him.
I have invested.
Good for you. I would have never done it, but you're willing to risk it for the
lower
biscuits.
And like I bought lower, though, at the beginning of this month prior to what happened after the play-in.
I was watching some of these bids on auction for eBay. It was insane.
Oh, like, I've watched them too.
Like, in my opinion, like dumb. Like dumb. I mean, look, is Keon going to start next year? Potentially, but he wouldn't start over Monk.
No.
If Monk comes back, which he should, he's likely going to be the starter or first man off the bench like he was this year. Kevin Huerter will either be first man off the bench or will start, one of the two. You're noticing that Kevin started this year, but he ended up not finishing a lot of the time. It was Monk that did it. Mm-hmm. So if I was going to invest in anybody, it's that bench guy that's going into starter, and I just saw the Keon Ellis numbers. You just ran them. What do they look like? There was an insane sale on a Keon Ellis auto gold.
Yeah, his gold prism, which is one of his best cards out there because, again, Keon was a late addition. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Keon's gold prism signature, sensational signatures, rookie gold out of 10. It was graded gem mint 10 too, so it was already pretty high up there. It went for $1.2K yesterday. I believe, before the game, or maybe the day prior.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
That's crazy in the sense of, like, doesn't make sense and bad investment.
Correct. Because that's the peak. That's as high as that card's probably going to go.
How far were the Kings? Let's put our Kings fandom aside. How deep were they going to go into the playoffs? If they had won last night, they would have gone against the Thunder. They probably would have gotten bounced.
Yep.
But maybe they win a game or two.
I think it could have gone six.
I could have gone six, yeah.
I think, but I don't think this team, with the injuries they had, with losing Herder and Monk, they lost those two guys. It was a lot of scoring.
25 points.
You're not going to see Keon. Let's look at his pedigree. That's what you always have to look at when collecting. He was an undrafted guy on a two-way deal. Yes, he's come up and had a really good season. You got to temper that expectation, though, with where he is. If the Kings thought he was a player at the beginning of the season, he would not have been on a two-way deal. He would have been on the team right out of camp. Being on the two-way deal, he did earn his position. And yes, he is going to be a bright spot on the Kings, but not like this. Look at the investment they put into Davion, right? Yep. And look where his card market is.
Yeah.
So,
Top 10 pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's...
Yeah, and his car, and he comes off the bench, and he's a role player, and that's fine. But his market's nothing. I mean, it's very
down.
Yeah, he's a common, like that's what you would say. Davion Mitchell's a common card, and
you can find Keon Ellis in a 25-cent box.
But you see him shoot up. I liken Keon to fantasy football. During the season, you'll have a random guy rush for 200 yards in a game, three touchdowns. He's the darling. Everybody's out collecting him on Monday morning.
Yeah, the Jonas Grave situation.
Yeah, and then by the weekend, he's torn his ACL and he's out for the season, and now that market's gone. Keon had this big flash, and I hope he, for Kings fandom, I hope he continues, and it's a good piece we got for undrafted. It was a gem we found. It was a kid we molded, and that he could be great. But you're paying for him to the fact where you think he's going to be the third guy on the Kings. He's not going to be the third guy on the Kings. He's definitely going to be a role player and a pivotal player for this team in the future, but he's not going to be a star in the NBA. He's just going to be a name on the team that we know. He's not even DiVincenzo on the Knicks. And look at his market. Compare it.
Could he be Lou Dort?
Maybe.
I'm throwing out comps,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, look at Lou Dort's market, and that's what a Keon Ellis top-end market should look like.
Lugenzo's.
We, in Sacramento, overpay and love our guys so much that we do this to ourselves, and it's fun because you collect what you want and collect the guys you love, and if he drives you to be a Kings fan, even better. Mm-hmm. But just know that in 5 years, that $1,200 you might have spent might look really bad.
You know, and it's going to happen. I mean,
yep.
You want to buy Jackson Holiday right now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I buy Jackson Holiday right now.
0.040.
Yes.
Time to buy.
One for 25 with one hit and 14 strikeouts.
Yep. Time to buy.
25 out bats. Yep. Kids 19. All
right. Sign me up.
Exactly.
Number one.
Speaking of guys that we love, that we want to invest in, let's talk about Malik Monk. We have Malik that's going to be signing autographs at our autograph expo in about 3.5 weeks. So we have Malik coming in and doing our show on May 18th, TBD as far as time that he's going to be signing, but it will be that day.
Where's it at, Shep?
The grounds in Roseville.
Shep got it right. Congratulations. Yes. I didn't have to move the location based on Shep screaming out locations that don't exist.
One time you say something.
It's going to be at the Cherry Blossom Festival in Hanford, California. Wait, that's not.
And you can check out the website. It's sacautographexpo.org.
dot net, dot gov. All right, so we have Malik there. We know, and Emil and I were talking about it before the show, Kings, I really believe, are going to put every effort to sign this guy. He's been the heart and soul of the team. Jaren's the leader. Sabonis is the muscle. But I think that Monk is the heart of it.
He's the heart. And by the way, sweetest guy.
Oh, my God, he was the nicest person.
Like, he'll be your best friend instantly. Like, he's that kind of guy. And this is our time, Sacramento, to show out and come and tell Malik how much we need him in Sacramento. You personally can come up to him, and as he's signing his autograph for you, you can tell him what he means to the Kings and why he needs to stay in Sacramento. Also, maybe, a gift, a little bribe. I don't know. We're not part of the Kings.
I'm paying you to sign my autograph, and yes,
I'm bringing you your favorite candy bar. Or, hey, here's a Chipotle gift card. Get one on me. Chipotle. I don't know.
He was such a sweet guy signing autographs last year for our fans. It was pretty awesome. You can go to sacautographexpo.com to find out more about our show that we're having there at the grounds. It's going to be quite the three-day event. We have a bunch of sports card dealers that'll be there. We have Malik Monk. We have a bunch of other autograph guys. Here's where I look at it. I think Malik is going to re-sign. I think he's going to have the suitors. They're going to have Orlando chasing him. I think that they're going to have there's another
Philadelphia. Team.
Philly has a lot of money, too.
Well, the other teams that have money aren't good. Do you want to go play in, like, Washington? Well, would you want to go play in Charlotte? Oh, Philly, yes. But, okay.
Good.
But look, what have they done in the last handful of years? Big expectations. They always get hurt. They fall apart. Guys are getting hit by cars, supposedly. Embiid, I'm a huge Embiid guy. I love Embiid. He's KU guy, rock chalk. Can't stay healthy. I don't know if that's somewhere I'd want to go. When you know what Sacramento is, you're playing with one of your college teammate, one of your closest friends in the world. You can stay here. And you know if you win in Sacramento, even if it's not a title and you get us to the Western Conference Finals, you win a playoff series, you're not going to have to buy a meal or a drink in this town ever again.
Brad Miller. Yeah. Brad, if you're listening, we love you.
We love you, Brad.
He was sitting baseline and he was jumping up and down with his scraggly hair and his beard. That guy has never bought a drink in this town.
No, and I guess Scott Pollard said that Brad reached out to him and people thought that that was Scott Pollard at the game and said, man, you look really good after your heart transplant.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, Scott goes, I wish I could grow my hair out like that again. Brad, we got to protect Brad Miller at all costs.
Love you, Brad.
And yes, that's the thing. And also, why does he not get more screen time? Come on, we need more Brad Miller
in the pre and post.
I don't know if the TV crew knows if that's Brad Miller or not.
But
I mean, 7 foot guy sitting there at baseline jumping up and down,
long
screaming
hair,
for
looked like Dave. I wonder if Dave was cheering for the Pelicans last night.
Did you see where Dave was?
No,
he was sitting.
No, I'm talking our Dave, not Dave Carmichael. Dave, our Dave was.
Dave from our store.
Rooting for Herbert Jones again.
Oh my goodness!
Oh gosh!
Enough of that.
Yeah.
All right, Malik, we need you to re-sign.
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right, so we've got a topic that Shep wanted to talk about.
Yes.
I'm a massive Michael Jordan 86 Fleer collector. That's my – Shep has seen me. I've owned, several. Let's just say I own several. there was a really interesting fact that came out from Darren Rovell. He started a new journalism company regarding sports cards and memorabilia.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give us the scoop on this.
Yeah, it's called Collect, but he's missing all the vowels. So it's like CLLCT.
That's a trend lately. Have you noticed that with names?
We don't need to have
speak. DAZN, there's just DAZN.
Math or learn how to spell it all. But yeah, Rovell puts this out. I'm reading this story on Twitter the other night, and I go, I've heard this before, but let's read it. So here, on March 16th, an 86-87 autographed Fleer Jordan rookie was sold. It was a PSA 8 with a 9 autograph. It sold on PWCC. They're an auction site. Sold for $205,000. At the time, the population report reflected there were only 6 other signed cards with the same exact grade and 3 signed cards that were graded higher. Then all of a sudden, how could 8 cards signed by Jordan in the past month all of a sudden popped up there? Jordan has a deal with Upper Deck. He usually doesn't sign Fleer cards, and it's really tough to get his autograph. Used to be able to see him he had a thing called Flight School. You could sometimes get his autograph there, but he's very tough. Well, all of a sudden, there was a collector that had 6 PSA 10s worth about $180,000 each, and they were cracked by PSA with PSA down in Florida with Michael.
I don't think PSA cracked them.
Okay, well, they were cracked.
They were cracked
in front of PSA.
Yes.
With Jordan down in Florida, and these cards were all autographed by Jordan and then re-slabbed by PSA. And now we have, I think there were 10 total. And there were the 6 that were 10s that now have autographs on them. And supposedly they might be going up for sale. We don't know. But when one collector does this and has 8 card or 10 cards signed by Jordan, which he doesn't ever sign, we very small print run or population of these, and all of a sudden now one guy's got a good market on it. Also, too, weird thing, reading the article, Jordan was not paid for this. He did it for free from the article. So, very interesting. I want to know, what would you pay for a PSA 10 Jordan rookie with a PSA 10 witnessed autograph by Jordan?
I'm smiling, and you know why.
I do. And I don't know how much you want to reveal on this or pull back on the curtain.
I just know more about this
than
anything that's been reported about this.
Yes.
And I'll keep it that way.
Yeah. And I feel like I did because I reached out and said something and you're like, I'm not ever going to say, but yes.
Yes. So we know a little bit more about this.
What would you pay?
A couple things here that's, I believe, an issue. I don't think anybody from Jordan's camp is ever going to confirm this because as far as I know, he's still under contract under Upper Deck. So I don't know if they'll ever confirm it, but obviously, you know, I'll give an example of not confirming stuff. I know he's dead now, so I'm going to say it out loud, that OJ did signings. I never participated in them, but I know OJ did signings as recently as a few months back.
Yes.
Now, the reason why he never did witness authentication is because he owes money civilly to the Goldman family.
Yes.
Right? So he would never do witness authentication. So he'd be like, nobody in the room, can't do this. Like, I know this for a fact.
He was doing the Johnny Manziel. He was money's in the safe.
He was signing, getting paid for it, and didn't, right? That I know that because I know some of the people that had participated in that stuff. I never participated in it. You know how I feel about convicted people. I don't. Yeah. We don't carry them in our shop or anything like that. So, in this scenario, Jordan probably didn't take money because maybe that is part of the contract that allows him to do that. If he wanted to sign for a kid at his basketball camp, maybe he has some caveats. I don't know what his contract looks like, but he probably couldn't take financials on this because that's what violates the contract.
Well, Fleer is owned. The Fleer brand, the name, is actually owned by Upper Deck.
Great point.
So hopefully that...
Great point.
That, I don't know how that all works because I know they did brought it. We've seen some revivals where Upper Deck's done some things with Fleer. The biggest thing was is they did release a handful of years ago a retro product of Fleer.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, any of the Skybox Metal stuff is just a division of Fleer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So all that stuff that they had from hockey is all from the Fleer family tree.
Yeah. So they bought it when it was, you know, after it went bankrupt and fell out. But it's just interesting. I mean, so
what would I pay for it? So it doesn't matter what I would pay for it.
What do you think it sells for?
Based on my inside knowledge, I think that they'll be offered somewhere between 8 and 10 million apiece. Yeah. And I'm not joking.
I don't believe that's out of the realm because there are six of them. How often is this going to come up? How often are you going to be able to get Jordan? How often do you see a PSA 10 Jordan that someone's willing to unencapsulate, get autographed, and re-encapsulate? Because the danger of taking a card out, I've done it with a $40 card before when I needed it for a set to put in a binder so I could look at it because I'm that kind of collector. I want to see my cards and read them and touch them and all together.
That's OG collecting right
there. Yes. I was scared cracking that thing.
Yeah.
And think of, I mean, it's crazy. You just have to think that market is cornered. There's very little of them. They're not going to come up all that often. Once you have them, once those are sold, those are going into whoever's vault, and they're disappearing.
I think the pop report on Jordan PSA 10s are less than 500. Maybe your boy owns a couple. But what I would tell you is that the value of a 10, if it went down to a 9, if it was, I don't know, they fumbled, mishandled, whatever, and it went from a 10 to a 9, it's going to go from $200,000 to roughly about $25,000.
Wow.
If it's messed up. Yeah.
10K loss.
No.
A 10 times loss.
9.
I'm doing undo math in my head backwards.
That's okay.
Public school math.
Yeah, public school math. Yeah, so you're going to lose $175,000 in value if it messes up during that process. So no wonder that they had PSA's staff there to watch this thing happen. I'm sure PSA wasn't sitting there cracking slabs.
No.
But they were probably witness to it. Mm-hmm. Can't confirm or deny that, but that's what the report from Revell says. So I would tell you that $1 million, I think, if you're going to get $1 million for a 1-of-1 Wemby PSA 10, there's no way that a 10-10 Jordan, and who knows what that label will say. If that label says something like a parentheses. Remember when you had the Honus Wagner and it says Gretzky collection?
Yep.
And who knows what that actual label may say?
Mm-hmm.
What if it said in the presence or witnessed?
If it says witnessed, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's 10 million.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I can't speculate. Let's see what happens. Maybe they'll never come on market. Who knows?
There are 323 PSA 10 Jordans.
Okay.
In pop, 323. So
I don't know where 320 are, but I know where 3 are.
Yeah.
Chip away.
That's a very, very low. And like this, you have to look in the before like the 2000s, when they cut cards, they are like, I call it cut on Friday when everybody's trying to get out and go to the, you know, happy hour. They cut the cards packed and they didn't care. The quality control was off. To them, it wasn't a big deal. So, you know, that's why that number is so low. Plus, that set is so iconic because they didn't have basketball cards for about 8 years. So there's tons of Hall of Famer rookie cards in that set. It was the first set as basketball is coming back. And it's just it's iconic for that. Two Jordan's rookies in there. He doesn't sign. It's crazy. I mean, I'm looking here. There's six tens with autographs on the PSA site. There's only 75 PSA DNA Jordans on the registry in total.
If we were to just kind of AC in the YouTube chat. Says after Upper Deck took over Fleer, Upper Deck had buybacks of the 86 Fleer Jordan rookie with auto. So I can't fact check this as we're on the radio, but if that's true, that's pretty awesome there that they did such a thing. I will tell you too that, you know, if you think about it, if you were to comp autograph signings, okay, Brady's autograph signing right now is, I think, $1,500 if you brought in your own rookie card item. Yep. Wow. It's like $1,500. And Brady's done multiple signings over the years, both with TriStar and then eventually to Fanatics, where he's at now. What do you think a Jordan autograph session would be? 10,000
Yeah.
Well, we saw.
I think it'd probably be 15,000.
I think because we saw that you sent us that Jeter thing, and to sign a rookie card for Jeter was 1,500. Now Jeter signs his face off. He signs for Topps all the time. Mm-hmm. He's been in a ton of stuff recently, and 1,500 for a Jeter when he signs all the time. That's the 1,000 times too much.
You know, I did the last Elgin Baylor signing before he passed. It was I think I did it before we opened the shop, right? It was,
I think, slightly before December, we opened the shop.
December of 2020, because I think he passed in March of 21.
Yeah.
So I did the signing, and I severely underpriced it. I was a dodo. I think I did it for like $75 an autograph and $100 for any item. I had so many items submitted to me, because I drove to LA to do the signing with Elgin. At that time, he was at his final stages of memory and things like that. His wife was with him, Elaine. She was, awesome. Awesome couple. I spent 3 days with Elgin, and then the last day we did Elgin and Jerry West in the same room. First time that they'd done that in 30 years. I was the one that did that signing.
Wow.
And when we did Elgin and we saw what came in to get signed, literally I had a U-Haul truck full of stuff that was submitted to us. I had over 3,000 items come in to get done. And you wouldn't believe what was coming in. I mean, I had basketballs with Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, like that kind of stuff on the same ball with Elgin to be added.
Yeah.
If we had a Jordan signing, do you know what would come in? I mean, you'd have stuff. I had a Mikan ball come in. George Mikan ball come in to be signed. And it had West and Chamberlain and Magic and Kareem and Mikan. And they were like, can you add Baylor to this? And I'm sitting there going, so the Jordan pieces would probably be like these crazy add Jordan, because this is the holy grail of us being able to create this ball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's more than 15,000.
Maybe.
And they'd probably limit it to like 200 pieces. I'm just guessing. I mean,
You'd be a blank check, and people just have to put in, you know, silent bids and just say, this is what I'm willing to pay, and we'll take the top. Because the demand would be so crazy. I think they could instrumentally grow that price because he just doesn't do it.
Exactly.
Upper Deck has been very smart in protecting Michael's auto. And I think they've added that value because they just don't put, he's not Bob Feller, right? Bob Feller signed, I think, Bob Feller passed away years ago, and I believe he's still signing today.
Yeah, in a mall.
And it's a joke of ours, but he does. Pete Rose literally sits in a mall in Vegas, and you can see him on a regular basis signing autographs. You can go see him in Vegas. He'll sign whatever you want. He's a legend of the game. He should be a Hall of Famer, whatever, but he's signed so much. His autograph is a $10 autograph, maybe.
And he happens to be represented by a company that is known for absolutely killing markets of autographs.
Yeah.
So I know this is our first time that we really spent much time on the autograph side of things. I mean, we talked to JSA last week, but
yeah.
I think that opening your eyes to a market of autographs is pretty amazing because it's such a unique scenario, and you don't have to really worry about autographs going up or down in value like you do with cards. So you don't really have to worry about the volatility of it, provided that the person that's signing isn't being mass signing. I'll tell you, for example, you guys could do your research on your own, but the company that's representing some of these athletes and celebrities is absolutely killing the market. Mike Tyson used to have a very strong market. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to buy a Mike Tyson autograph photo, it's probably one-third the price that it was even 5 years ago. Because the guy just signs his face off because the company that represents him really wants all of his stuff out there constantly. But if you want to meet him in person and shake his hand and take a picture with him, it's a totally different story. You're paying for the experience rather than you're paying for the actual autograph itself for the valuation of it.
Yeah.
So, for example, we have Randy Johnson coming to our event. Randy Johnson is in the $200 range. People are like, are you crazy, $200? Well, first of all, it's set by the athlete's agency. I don't price that, right? I'm at the mercy of whatever they tell me because they set it. I'm making very little, and I don't even care about that. What I care about is that we're providing the best athletes to get stuff signed there. But where are you going to meet Randy Johnson? You're going to have to go to Chicago to the National. You're going to have to go to New York during the Cooperstown weekend. You're going to have to go to a massive, massive, massive show. You're going to spend a lot of money in travel, a lot of money in a hotel. Brothers, sisters, I've brought him 99.9% of the way to you.
Yep.
All you got to go do is drive to Roseville. I've closed the gap. So if you want to meet a guy that won his 300th game as a Giant
yep.
and one of the greatest pitchers of all time, maybe top three lefty of all time.
Yeah.
Top three? Kofax, him, and
I don't
those two?
We'll start the list. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Kofax and him.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other lefty.
Carlton?
Maybe. But,
I mean, I don't think he was as dominant as those
two. The gap
two
is too big.
Yeah, he's a distant third if he's a third guy.
So you're paying for the experience of meeting these players. And I think that's the difference in autograph signings versus getting an autograph and buying it.
You get that experience, but two, it's look at his value. Go try to find when he's doing shows. Go find when some of these guys are out there doing stuff. You can just search like autograph signings and put in the player's name and see when they're signing. Again, he is not signing out there all the time. He's not.
Oh, he's not signing jerseys at our event either.
He's not signing jerseys. He's not out publicly signing all the time. So that's why it makes it special. And you see this, and getting to meet the player is part of that. It's like when people come in, they complain about the box. Sometimes they'll complain about the box price because I didn't get $200 out of value out of my box. But yet you got to think of the entertainment. Mm-hmm. When you go see a movie or you go eat a nice dinner. So say you go have a nice steak dinner. And you spent $200 on that dinner, there's no return on that investment of the dinner.
Correct.
It's automatically leaving you at some point in the next 8 hours.
Some of us it leaves faster out of us than others.
Yes. Like, 8 hours?
I mean, sometimes you hold on to it.
Shep and his 8 minute.
Yes.
8 minute MBS.
In and out. In and out.
In and out.
It's in and out.
But what I'm saying is there's you can say, hey, I had this great dinner, but you have that. I got to meet Randy Johnson and it was great. Here's the experience. But also, look at this is what I got him to sign. Look at this cool rookie card. Mm-hmm. Or look at this. I got to take a photo with him and look how tall he is versus me. You know, just that kind of thing. When Emron's going to look, he's going to go up.
When he's Randy, hold me up.
We won't be sure if he's holding Beckett or if he's holding Emron. Yeah,
I'll look like take this koala picture of me and I'll be like the little koala bear held by Randy Johnson.
You got to figure that in and I think the presence of Jordan and to tie back into him, would you have you have an option. Jordan rookies, he's going to sign his rookie card in front of you, or he's going to sign an original OG Jordan 1. Which would you rather have in your collection, the autographed Jordan 1 shoe or the autographed Fleer rookie card?
Well, you already know how I feel about Fleer.
I know. The card comes in.
Yeah.
He has to have it. I was able to add a Jordan rookie. It was the sticker rookie out of 86, 87 Fleer to my PC from Ant.
You just bought it.
I just bought it from Ant from the shop, but I had to body Imran out of the way. Because
I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah. I didn't have to let him know. I had to put cash on the table, on the card, even before Ant said anything. Ant hadn't seen the card, and I was handing him the card with money. Go, hey, here's your card and the money I'm going to give you to buy this.
Listen, if you ever want to, listener, I'm talking to you. If you ever want to make money in cards, follow Imran Pilates' scenario here. So Like he's calling you. Calling you right now.
That's not good.
Go ahead and keep going. I'm going to take the call.
Okay. No, Imran's going to take this call. We'll see. But yeah, like, okay, so Emil, you got the rookie card or the shoe. Which one are you taking?
I'm more of a card collector, so I'm taking the card just because I don't have one. But as someone like Chiboy or someone like you who just got the sticker, maybe the shoe would be more valuable because it's adding another piece to your Jordan PC as a collector of not only cards, but memorabilia as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I would go card because I don't have the card yet, and that's a set I'm working on. That's the last card that I need, and to throw an autographed version of it in there would be amazing. Also, though, it's a dilemma because the only shoe I really like wearing are the Jordan 1 Lows. So I buy a bunch of different colorways in that, and that's the one shoe I like to wear. So it'd be hard. I don't know what I would do. I'd be happy with either. I'd just be happy to say what's up to Mike and go, I want to be like Mike. And I would just say that, and
it'd be a surreal moment for me as well, because even though I didn't grow up in that era, Mike's not my GOAT, because that's not my – I was a LeBron guy.
I thought you were Corey Maggette. Is that your GOAT?
Yeah, that's my Corey GOAT. The old school Clippers for some reason. I don't know why we're throwing the Clippers out.
I would love to play blackjack with Michael Jordan.
Oh.
I would love that.
But then you'd have to like take a retirement from radio and go do a different activity for a year and a half and then come back.
I'd be banned from understandable. Yeah. You know, and that would be worth it, right? Yeah. Right? Like no
take
doubt.
Take an 18-month hiatus.
There's no way I could keep up with the guy, but it'd be a lot of fun.
We were discussing if we would do the shoe or the card. Nate hops in and wants to play blackjack. Listen, you don't have to use your own money. I'm going to give you right now. Imran will stake you in that tournament. Whatever you need to play Jordan one-on-one in poker, he's got you.
Poker? I want to be on his side in blackjack. I want to sit at a table with Michael for an hour. I think that would be awesome.
Well, Imran will stake you.
Yeah.
Blackjack is the worst. People ask a blackjack dealer if they play blackjack. You know the answer is?
Well,
it's
you
got
to
no.
look. You can't play 6-5. Got to be 3-2, single, double deck. Can't be coming out of the shoe. There's rules, Imran. There's rules.
I play blackjack since I was 18 years old.
Give me single deck. This is as much math as I can do.
But they're only cutting half the deck, so you really can't see much because they're already shuffling. But by the time that the cut card gets to the halfway point, so you can't really even count it. Mm-hmm. But what I'm getting is I only play third base, so I'm the last to act. And if somebody's playing $5 and I'm playing $50 a hand, I'm either moving or I'm telling the guy, just hit on your 16 against that king, and I'll give you money if you miss, because I don't want you screwing up my bet of 50 when you've only got $5
Okay, so
on
you
table.
are into it. But I like to lose money is my thing. But
you and I could play together.
Yeah, you guys do too, right? If you collect cards, right? I'm sure you guys like to lose money.
What I was saying before I was rudely interrupted by myself when I left the room was that
first for the show.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take a call on the air, and then I leave the room.
Yeah.
Follow my advice. I only collect Jordan and LeBron for the investment, as an example, and I speculate and have fun with, like, the De'Arons and the Keegans and stuff like that. It's too volatile.
Yeah.
Jordan and LeBron, nothing's going to happen to their cards, provided that they don't do anything stupid personally. Go ahead.
No, party like a Diddy party.
Or an OJ party.
Yeah. Wow.
Sorry.
Sorry. So coming up this next week, and by the time we're on the first three
rounds.
You're
not going
to
be here next week.
I will not be here next week because of what we're about to talk about next, the draft.
Yeah. You're going to be there?
I will not. I will not be in Detroit now.
I thought you were going to be there in the green room getting ready to be selected.
I wish.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a dream.
What would your 40 time be?
Like
six?
A 5-6. A 5-2.
40 seconds.
A 5-2, probably.
Yeah, after my PT yesterday, mine would be about a 13. so we have the draft next week. And the draft, I love the NBA draft, but the NFL draft since I was a kid has been my – if I could cancel Christmas and just have the NFL draft, I would do it.
Wow.
As a kid, I would record the draft because it was on Sundays, and we'd be at family stuff or whatever. I would put it in and record that thing, and I'd rewatch it. I have old drafts from like 92, 93, 90, and if I had a VCR today, I could put them in.
You
want to
hear something
crazy?
Okay, for those of you that are watching on YouTube, put your laptop down.
Okay.
This is insane. So today, shout out, Howie Schwab passed away today. Yeah. He was the statistician for ESPN for 27
forever.
Years.
Yeah,
he retired in 2013, health problems, etc. He passed away today. And Shep was, little known fact, Shep was on the show Stump the Schwab,
correct,
which was on the Ocho. No, it was on ESPN2.
ESPN2.
And yeah. Shep was on that. It was a trivia show, and you were going against basically the GOAT of statistical trivia, Howie Schwab, because he was the researcher. And so I was like, okay, Shep's always talking about how good he is at knowing stuff. I tested him one day. Watch this. This is insane. If you're watching on the YouTube, on the internet,
this guy's anything.
This is insane.
He's got no computers.
Name the number one picks of the NFL draft starting from 1990?
1990, Jeff George, 91, Russell Maryland, 92, Steve Entman, 93, Drew Bledsoe, 94, Dan Wilkinson, 95, Kajana Carter, 96, Keyshawn, 97, Orlando Pace, 98, Manning, Couch, Courtney Brown, Vic,
2022.
Yeah, David Carr, Carson Palmer, Eli Manning was 2004. 2005 was Alex Smith. 2006 was Mario Williams. 2007, Jake Long. 2008, why am I blanking on eight all of a sudden? Come back to eight. Nine. Oh, man, why am I blanking on eight? See, you have me now. You put me on the spot.
Ryan?
No. Oh.
Was it Matt Ryan?
No, because Jake Long was that pick. Ryan was the number two pick.
I think I know who it is.
Who is it?
Jamarcus?
No, seven was Jamarcus. Sorry, eight was Long. Nine was Sam Bradford, or it was Stafford. Sam Bradford was 10. 11, Cam, Luck, Clowney. Or no, I'm sorry, Luck, 13. Oh, see, now, man.
It was
going, though.
Yeah. So.
All right. If you think he's good, watch this. I'll give you the number three pick of each year. I'm joking.
Was the Chiefs.
Eric Fisher. Fourteen.
Fisher was number one.
Yeah. Yes. Clowney.
Yeah. It was a bad Clowney. Draft.
Oh, 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a terrible draft with Geno in it, right?
Yeah. And then Jameis.
Geno.
No.
Jameis was 04. 14.
Yeah. No, it was 15. And then 16 was Goff. 17 was Miles.
13 was a 18. Terrible draft.
Yeah, 13 was bad. Kyler. 13 was bad in all the sports.
18 was Kyler, right? Was Kyler, Bosa. 19,
yeah.
19.
Yeah.
19 was Kyler.
19 was Kyler?
Yeah, 18 was...
dude, you nothing like dead air, baby.
Yeah.
This is really...
Anyway,
this is
so awesome. This next one will be Caleb Williams.
Let's talk about it. Yep. So let's talk about the collectability of the players. This is not necessarily on the field... Will they be good or not? It's just collectability we'll talk about today. So there's going to be a top 10 pick, probably top 8 pick. It's going to be a lineman. It's the tackle. It's probably going to go to the Chargers.
Joe Alt.
Yeah, Joe Alt.
You think they're taking it?
Yeah.
Tackle?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, okay.
J.C. Latham. Yeah, those guys. They're not sexy picks.
Yeah, they're not
big
sexy
boys,
picks.
But they're
and,
guys
and they
you
won't
need.
Matter. And and Panini will probably have them because that'll be the highest ranked non Fanatics exclusive player that they'll be able to get.
I'm scared because I think a majority of these guys are exclusive. The quarterbacks, the throwers of the football are Fanatics exclusive.
I will tell you that based on what we saw with Victor Wembanyama this past year, it's still collectible, but I cannot justify the financials of product with guys missing from the autograph situations.
Yep, correct.
It's really hard for me to say, yes, it makes sense to buy a box of Prism Basketball Hobby for $1,100 when the best autograph you can get there is one of the Thompson twins, you know, the hurt one or the one that's playing bad, or Keontae George, number 13 pick or whatever. I can't even think of another guy that makes sense in the autograph side of things.
Amen's a good player.
That might be the case, but...
They're not going to translate into that.
Financially, it's crazy.
No, yeah, and so it turns back into 1990s collecting where you're collecting parallels, but they're never going to be
that. But the weird part about it is it's almost like the hobby collectors validated the price of the boxes by overvaluating the cards that come out of, like, Wemby. If you get a Wemby-colored card, you're at $1,000-something. It's crazy to me that a card that's numbered to $299 should be worth... $800 or whatever it is.
That's not a sustainable market if you look in the past history.
Yeah.
Always use that as your guidance, and that's why if I pulled one of those numbered Wimbys, it's gone in a heartbeat.
It's gone quickly.
This year coming up, the Bears have the first pick. Most likely they're taking Caleb Williams. No matter what people think or say about him, he'll be the number one pick.
They're taking Caleb Williams.
People are going to pay out their mind for Caleb Williams, and you're going to have to collect those parallel, those short prints. You're gonna that's what's gonna sell for him. If you get it, sell it. Football's very volatile. We look back to the 21. We had five quarterbacks in the first round.
Yes.
Three of them are on new teams. Four of them are backups. The only one that's a starter that's still on the same team is Trevor Lawrence, who was the first pick in the draft, who was the man, who was the Caleb Williams.
He was the next Andrew Luck. He was the most touted prospect.
For a long time, since John Elway.
He hasn't been that yet.
This is nuts. I'm sorry, guys. You guys were talking about football, and we're about to talk about football, but I'm looking at like the Victor Blue.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Number 199. Closed 2 days ago at $1,900. That's numbered to 199.
Yes.
So what does that mean for football? Does that mean that football, Caleb Williams at 199 is going to be, you know, in the $1,500 range if you pull it? That's wild to me.
Well, we have a look at Stroud right now. Stroud is a direct comparison. If Caleb has half the year that Stroud did this year and gets the Bears to 8-9 wins to that at least 500 point, his prices will be 75 to 90% of whatever we're going to talk about Stroud. If he gets the Bears to 10 wins and they get into the playoffs and he plays and puts up stats like CJ did this last year for the Texans, the world's your oyster. These prices are going to be very comparable. We have a direct comp. If he comes and plays poorly, Bryce Young did not play well this year. One, the team was not good, did not have line. He was on his back all the time. But you look at his pricing, that's the discrepancy that you could see.
Dude.
Bryce was the guy coming in, and then CJ ends up being the guy, and look at those price differences.
So I think that the comparison this year is going to be Caleb at number one and Jalen Daniels somewhere in two or three. I think Jalen Daniels will take the role of the Stroud this year, and obviously Bryce Young comparison this year is going to be Caleb Williams, not by play, but by as far as the positioning of where they're at in drafting. Mm-hmm. The Stroud Blue Wave Prism closed 4 days ago. Number to 189, $1,300. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
how many are there?
I own some, so it's awesome.
How many others are?
199.
Yeah. 199.
And that's raw.
Yeah.
It's not even graded. So when you think about this, it's like, what is this going to look like? Because there's a high likelihood of the five quarterbacks that are likely taken in the first round, and I'm including Penix Jr. in there, but I don't think he'll.
It's either Penix or Nix. One of the two are going to be either. Somebody's going to trade up into the 30, 31, or 32 to get one of those guys, or they're going to be the top four, one of the top four picks of the second round, like when Tennessee last year traded up to take Will Levis at 33, which was the second pick of the second round. They traded up to get who they thought was a first round talent. That's going to happen with one of these guys. I mean, this to the 21 class, Caleb to Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson to say either like Drake May. And then you have Mac Jones to I compare it to a JJ McCarthy. And then you have Justin Fields to Jalen Daniels. That's how I look at it. Or the Trey Lance to just Jalen Daniels. But Fields had more of a college pedigree, so that's why I put Jalen Daniels as that comparison to him. He'll get drafted higher. But you look and where those guys are now, it's gonna be pick your quarterback and hope the one of the four or five guys you pick is the guy. But I can tell you that when there's this many guys, I mean, look back at the 99 draft. It's the same thing. We had a bunch of quarterbacks taken there, and none of them really panned out except for McNabb.
But it's very different. Okay, so let's just do this. We got a few minutes left, so we'll catch this, and I want to get Emil's take on this. The game from 99 to 2024 is a very different game. Yep. It was heavy running. If you threw 4,000 yards, that was like super special. Now we got 5,000 yards. It's the Brees effect as to what's happened, right? Mm-hmm. Drew Brees has brought in the 5,000-yard passing.
Huck and chuck it.
Yeah.
Air Raider.
So based on history in the last 4 or 5 years, this is what I'd be looking like at investor collectors. Listen to me. I'd be looking at what the line looks like to protect the quarterback, because the ones that suck – as far as what you think, because you're just thinking, oh, Justin Fields sucks. He can't throw it downfield. This guy's running for his life.
Yes.
So what you need to do is you need to look and see what kind of offensive line that they have, because these are all the very best athletes in the world at football. They're not bad at their job. They just, these little nuances can make it or break it for a person. So if Justin Fields is running for his life, he's not going to be able to find whoever the receiver is. Period, end of story. If it's Keenan Allen, if it's anybody else, it doesn't matter. If he's running for his life, he can't throw the ball. So what I'd be looking at is, where is this player going to? As an example, I think that whoever's going to go to the Patriots is going to have some problems.
Yes, that's not a good team.
That's not a good team. There's a reason why they're in the top five, right? Top three.
They didn't have a quarterback, that's why.
You need a quarterback, but the...
They couldn't block last year. Tell me who's their pass catcher on that team. Give me a receiver. Who's their running back?
Kendrick?
Tight end. Devontae Parker.
Oh, yay, yeah. Devontae Parker.
But that's also has a lot to do with the fact that they're running for their life. Mac Jones, his best play is hike, duck, and... Don't get blasted by somebody.
The other thing, too, is look at the success these guys had in college. When Fields was in college, he had five-star receiver after five-star receiver after five-star receiver on that team.
The line.
The running backs. Everybody around him was five-star. Look at the guys that didn't play with the five-star. I'll bring up Purdy. Purdy played with some decently talented players. But I want to tell you, a majority, if not all of his offensive linemen, are off selling insurance or doing something else today, and they're not playing in the NFL. He played with Breece Hall, and that's it. So you got to look at that.
So here we go. Emil, your predictions on who is a bust or a hit in this draft.
From the quarterback perspective?
It's your call. Any player that
Cole
is
takes
in
is listening.
First round.
Well, I think Caleb is gonna work out. I do think Caleb. I don't know what his ceiling is, but I definitely think it will work out because I think Chicago's done a really good job surrounding him with talent going into this rookie season. There's no excuse for me on that end. Out of the two other quarterbacks, though, I'm a Drake May guy. I just think Drake May is either the next Justin Herbert or Josh Allen. I think he has that build, that kind of type. I think if they get him the right pieces similar to they did in Buffalo, let him, you know, kind of work into it the same way, I think that's going to work out. And then other players... I am all in on Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's going to be a surefire Hall of Fame talent, Pro Bowl talent right away.
Yep.
Ooh, got too excited there. Harrison and Brock Bowers are the only two guys in this class I absolutely love and believe in. Out of the quarterbacks, and so I got a little biased history. The Bears have never had a quarterback throw over 4,000 yards. It's not Caleb. I'm going to go and say Jalen Daniels.
Here's what I think.
I like it.
I think that Caleb struggles year one. The guy that I'd be investing in, and it depends on where he lands, but I think it's J.J. McCarthy. I love him. He's great, and I think the Vikings are going to get him.
Yep.
They're going to trade up to get him. They're going to need to be in the top seven to get him, and so I believe he's gone up.
Four or five.
You think he's going to go four or five?
Yeah, and he will not have sexy stats, but he will be a winner if he goes to the Vikings.
And I'll tell you this, too. I would stay away from Caleb Williams in year one, but I'd pick him up in year two.
In the offseason.
Because they did not solve that line issue that Justin Fields was running for his life. Guys, everybody, it's been a great 420 here at the Sacktown Sports 1140. For Big Shep, Emil, Nate behind the camera, it's Emran Pilati. We'll see you next week. That's trade night at the mall, at the mall. Galleria, 6 to 9. And don't forget, LaSalle Thompson will be signing autographs for free at the mall, 5 to 6 p.m. next Saturday at the Roosevelt Galleria at the True Sports Cards Shop. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great week.